the headlines. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi and the Armenian Prime Minister Pashinyan highlight the need for sustainable peace and security in the region. Russia conducts one of the heaviest missile strikes against Ukraine since the start of the war. And police in South Korea admit their crowd control tactics on the night of Halloween were not enough. Hello and welcome from our headquarters in Tehran. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Iran's President Ebrahim Raisi reiterates the stance that the dispute between Armenia and Azerbaijan in the Caucasus should be resolved by regional players. Raisi was speaking in a joint presser with the visiting Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan after the two officials held talks on expanding bilateral ties. The Iranian president added that any foreign interference in the Caucasus will only add to the regional problems. Raisi also said that peace and security in the Caucasus are of prime significance for Iran. He also talked about the bilateral relations with Armenia. Raisi said achieving the target of trade of $3 billion with Armenia is possible if Tehran and Yerevan both show determination in that regard. Pashinyan also echoed Raisi on the need for sustainable peace and security in the Caucasus. Iran has imposed sanctions on a number of American individuals and entities for offenses including human rights violations and supporting terrorism. Iran's foreign ministry says they were also sanctioned for interfering in Iran's internal affairs, instigating violence and riots in the country, and committing economic terrorism against the Iranian nation. 10 individuals and 4 entities are on the blacklist. They include the commander of the U.S. Central Command, the U.S. Deputy Secretary of Treasury, the CIA, and the U.S. National Guard over the past few weeks. The U.S. and its allies have imposed several rounds of sanctions on Iran over what they call crackdown on anti-government protests. Iran dismisses the allegations, saying it is dealing with foreign-backed riots. Russia's President Vladimir Putin held a trilateral summit with the leaders of Armenia and Azerbaijan on Monday. This came in the wake of tensions between the two ex-Soviet neighbors. In a joint statement after the talks, Baku and Yerevan agreed not to use force to resolve the dispute over the Nagorno-Karabakh region. Marina Kurtanova reports.
Russian President Vladimir Putin hosted the leaders of Armenia and Azerbaijan in an attempt to help the two ex-Soviet states settle their long-standing conflict. Putin said he's hopeful that the summit will make it possible to outline steps to resolve the Nagorno-Karabakh issue, adding the Armenian leadership has the political will to resolve the conflict with Azerbaijan. Putin, however, noted Moscow does not impose anything on anyone and only offers a peaceful solution.
I know that you have the political will for this, and we support it in every possible way. We must find the key points that will allow us to move forward. This conflict has been going on for decades, so we still need to end it sometime.
Armenian Prime Minister Nikol Pashinyan reacted to Putin's remarks, voicing his readiness to accept Moscow's offer to establish diplomatic relations with Baku. Azerbaijan President Ilham Aliyev also said that the Karabakh conflict has already become history and it is time to talk about the normalization of relations between Yerevan and Baku. He expressed gratitude to Russia for trying to resolve the issue. Some experts believe the U.S. and some European countries, particularly France, are trying to foment discord between Armenia from Russia, reform their friendly relations to hostility, withdraw Armenia from the CSTO, and encourage Yerevan for a new large-scale military conflict with Azerbaijan.
France is actively intervening in the conflict. NATO's interests are visible behind it. The USA has one of its largest embassies in Yerevan, the same with Azerbaijan. There goes Israel and the UK. The latter is one of Turkey's closest friends. Another block of countries is being formed there, but they all work in the same direction. They are opposed to the participation of Iran and Russia in resolving this conflict and are trying to replace the participation of neighboring states with that of Western ones. This deprives the people of Armenia and Azerbaijan of a peaceful solution.
A six-week war between Azerbaijan and Armenia in 2020, which claimed the lives of more than 6,500 troops on both sides, ended with a Russian brokered deal that saw Yerevan cede swathes of territory that it had controlled for several decades. Last month, 286 people from both sides were killed in the flare-up of new clashes.
Moscow's task is to find ground for a compromise. The interference of Turkey, France, Britain and the United States in the Armenian-Azerbaijani relations in recent months, the so-called Western Peace Project may simply threaten the disappearance of Nagorno-Karabakh. Most experts believe the mediation of such countries is a trap from which there is no way out. Marina Kartunova, Moscow.
The Ukrainian army says Russia has hit the country with a volley of 55 cruise missiles as well as other ammunition. The army says the Monday attacks hit civilian targets. Ukraine's presidential advisor has described the strikes as one of the largest since the war began in February. Officials say the strikes left hundreds of areas across Ukraine without power. Russian President Vladimir Putin says the attack was a partial response to drone strikes on the country's Black Sea fleet. Putin says Russia could have done more. Putin has blamed Ukraine for the attacks that prompted Moscow to suspend a deal to allow Ukrainian grain exports despite the war. Tensions grow between the EU and the U.S. over trade-related matters. Brussels claims measures introduced by Washington to fight inflation will damage EU firms. There's also growing disquiet over the price America is charging the EU for its gas. Jerome Hughes reports.
Importing liquefied natural gas from the US is costing the EU a fortune, and leaders across the 27-nation bloc are looking for a better deal. EU trade ministers met on Monday. They are also not happy with Joe Biden's Inflation Reduction Act. It includes state aid for American manufacturers that will put EU car builders at a disadvantage.
I will be pretty frank. I think in the form how it was presented, I think for the European Union is unacceptable.
This is all happening due to Western sanctions against Russia. Inflation is out of control. We've asked the European Commission why it's not trying to broker peace between Russia and Ukraine.
It just seems to be not on the agenda at all. Am I completely off the mark in that regard?
We have always said that whoever can use its influence to stop the war in Russia and to stop the war in Ukraine, we will support this.
EU trade ministers accuse Russia of using food as a weapon after Moscow left a UN-negotiated deal to facilitate grain shipments from Ukraine. It follows drone attacks on Russia's Black Sea fleet near Sevastopol on Saturday. The Kremlin blames Kiev, helped by British experts. Eurozone inflation has climbed to a new record high of 10.7%. EU leaders are being urged to tackle a growing social crisis in the bloc.
It is in the hand of the decision makers because it is very easy to solve this problem. And it is a shame for the European Union and for the member states.
Many claim the West could have prevented the war in Ukraine by listening to Russia's security concerns surrounding the issue of NATO expansion. Massive public protests are forecast as wages in the EU fail to keep up with soaring inflation. Already here in Belgium, police have agreed to hold a one-day strike on the 9th of November. The country's firefighters have announced they will do the same in December. A date for that has yet to be announced. It's set to be a winter of discontent for EU governments. Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Germany and France are alarmed over a new trade law that the U.S. will make investments in the country overly competitive. Washington's new tax cuts and energy benefits for companies investing there have prompted strong reactions from German Chancellor Olaf Scholz and the French President Emmanuel Macron.
The German Chancellor and the French President met in Paris to recalibrate their relations as there seems to be a rise in tensions over issues related to energy, economy and defense between Europe's two biggest economies. Germany and France are the driving forces behind many of the key decisions made by the European Union, such as a plan to raise billions of euros in debt to cushion the blow of the pandemic.
We are the biggest supporter of Europe. We are paying 26% of the budget, usually, and we are developing a lot of solidarity mechanisms, as we did in the last crisis, looking at Corona, with the instruments we developed with the RRF and the recovery fund is a good chance for acting together also in the time we have now.
But amongst the differences in their policies that have become cause for fallouts, Scholz and Macron seem to be on the same page when it comes to seeing European investments being hijacked by the US as a result of new policies in Washington. Macron believes that as businesses are given incentive to, quote, buy American, France will lose 8 billion euros. What Macron is referring to exactly is the biggest climate and energy package in US history, recently signed by Joe Biden. The Inflation Reduction Act of 2022, or the IRA, includes $600 billion in spending in total, with $370 billion dedicated to supporting renewable energy and climate resilience. Washington is hoping to find the budgets for the package by sorting out large corporations' long-running tax evasions, as well as those of the top 1%. Whether or not the corporations and the elite will still be able to evade taxes, as they've been doing for so long, remains to be seen, though. One of the measures in the IRA includes tax rebates for buyers of American-made electric vehicles, among many other industry credits for clean energy initiatives. These incentives will move operations from France to the US to take advantage of these subsidies, according to Macron. He's even called the IRA measures unfairly protectionist. There is agreement among the EU bloc members that tangible and concrete measures need to be taken. Among the potential responses that the EU could give to the IRA policy is filing a complaint to the World Trade Organization that would call for adding European-made products to become a part of the US rebate plan.
The EU is convinced that it cannot sit idly by while the new American policies can very well tackle manufacturing and investment in the US. The bloc is poised to hit back with its own incentive scheme, but if things spiral out of control, a potential transatlantic trade war might be on the horizon.
In an interview with France 2 TV channel, Emmanuel Macron proposed his response to the US measure. We need a Buy European Act like the Americans. We need to reserve our subsidies for our European manufacturers. Macron even referred to similar policies in China, saying, you have China that is protecting its industry, the US that is protecting its industry, and Europe that is an open house. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz, while not a big fan of the Buy European rhetoric, shares Macron's concerns over the unfair US competition. He is especially hurt when he found out that German chemical giant BASF is planning to cut down its business activities in Germany, as the company's chief says the gas prices in Germany are 6 times higher than in the US, and increasing EU regulations aren't helping his business either. German Finance Minister Christian Lindner has acknowledged that and responded by saying, the decision of a successful company like BASF showed that we need to improve the overall attractiveness of Germany as a business location. He also said Germany needs to pursue tax reliefs for private investors. Now Scholz and Macron are trying to reach an agreement with Washington to sort out their differences through a newly formed US-EU task force on the Inflation Reduction Act.
Whoa! Ladies and gentlemen, after years and years of hard work, it's official. Macron is coming to central New York.
It remains to be seen whether the deindustrialization that is plaguing Europe, mainly as a result of the energy crunch that is causing the exodus of European countries from the bloc, but now also because of Washington's incentives for investors in the US, can be fixed through reaching a compromise with the US. Because the alternative would be either a transatlantic trade war or an even bigger economic slump for a Europe unattractive to companies and investors, new and old.
South Korea has promised a speedy inquiry into the recent Halloween crush in the capital Seoul in an attempt to calm public anger over the deadly incident. In a parliamentary address, Interior Minister Lee Sang-min has apologized to the public and pledged to make sure such disasters do not happen again. He has faced fierce criticism for stating that deployment of more police would not have prevented the tragedy. The chief also acknowledged police missteps that contributed to the incident.
We found out that there were lots of 112 calls before the accident about the seriousness of the place. The calls were about the emergencies telling the danger and urgency of the situation that large crowds had gathered before the accident occurred. However, we think the police response to the 112 calls was inadequate.
Authorities have also said that they had no guidelines to handle the expectedly large crowd. South Korea is observing a 7-day mourning period over the tragedy. The stampede took place as South Koreans marked their first mask-free Halloween in 3 years. People were crushed after those at the top of the sloped alley fell over the others. And the incident has so far killed 156 people. The dead are from South Korea and 14 other countries. Scores of others have also been injured and nearly 30 critically. And that brings us to the end of this edition of World News. Stay tuned.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Ever since Russia's special operation in Ukraine started, Western countries, especially the United States, have sent billions of dollars worth of weapons and military equipment to Ukraine to attempt to help the country against Russia's operation. Moscow has repeatedly warned Washington and its allies against their arms supplies to Kiev, which the Kremlin says contributes to further escalating the conflict. Another important point is that military officials of these countries that are supporting Ukraine have warned that if the West continues to provide excessive arms to Ukraine, their strategic arms stockpiles will be reduced severely. We've taken a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The website of CNBC has more details. In the U.S. weapons industry, the normal production level for artillery rounds for the 155mm howitzer, a long-range heavy artillery weapon currently used on the battlefields of Ukraine, is about 30,000 rounds per year in peacetime. The Ukrainian soldiers fighting Russian forces go through that amount in roughly 2 weeks. That's according to Dave DeRoche, an associate professor and senior military fellow at the U.S. National Defense University. And DeRoche is worried. Dave DeRoche says, "I'm greatly concerned. Unless we have new production, which takes months to ramp up, we're not going to have the ability to supply the Ukrainians." Europe is running low too. Josep Borrell, the European Union's High Representative for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy, said recently, "The military stocks of most European NATO member states have been, I wouldn't say exhausted, but depleted in a high proportion, because we have been providing a lot of capacity to the Ukrainians." NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg said a special meeting of the alliance's arms directors recently to discuss ways to refill member nations' weapons stockpiles. Military analysts point to a root issue. Western nations have been producing arms at much smaller volumes during peacetime, with governments opting to slim down very expensive manufacturing and only producing weapons as needed. Some of the weapons that are running low are no longer being produced, and highly skilled labor and experience are required for their production. Things that have been in short supply across the United States manufacturing sector for many years. The U.S. has been by far the largest supplier of military aid to Ukraine in its war with Russia, providing billions of dollars worth of weapons to date since Moscow started its special operation in Ukraine last February. Several of the American-made weapons that have been game changers for the Ukrainians, particularly the 155mm howitzers and long-range heavy artillery like the Lockheed Martin-made HIMARS or High Mobility Artillery Rocket System. The US has essentially run out of the 155mm howitzers to give to the Ukrainian side. To send any more, it would have to dip into its own stocks of reserves for US military units that use them for training and readiness. What this means for Ukrainian military is that some of their most crucial battlefield equipment, like the 155mm howitzers, is having to be replaced with older and less optimum weaponry, like the 105mm howitzer, which has a smaller payload and a shorter range. Other weapons Ukraine relies on that are now classified as limited in the US inventory include HIMARS, or High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, and HIMARS launchers, Javelin missiles, Stinger missiles, the M777 howitzer, and the 155mm howitzer ammunition. The British newspaper The Financial Times has more for us. Persistent shortages of parts and personnel will continue to dog the Pentagon's top four defense contractors over the next 2 years, as they currently deal with orders related to Washington's ongoing security aid to Kiev amid Russia's ongoing special military operation in Ukraine. Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Northrop Grumman, and Raytheon Technologies have been grappling with snarled supplies since the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic in 2020, something that is currently being worsened by widespread cost inflation. The factors are expected to slow down production rates, damage revenues, and prompt outright losses within the defense contractors. Parts and labor shortages rode roughshod over Boeing's defense business, with the company reporting $2.8 billion in losses in the third quarter of this year. Boeing chief executive Dave Calhoun said that in a supply-constrained world, his company doesn't push the system too fast, adding, "We slow down when we have to, and we try not to compound our problems." According to a new opinion poll, the remarks come against the backdrop of the White House's current security assistance to Ukraine authorities, an issue that has split the American public. The survey conducted by Convention of States Action, along with Trafalgar Group, revealed that 40.3% of respondents call for sending Ukraine weapons and money, while 30.5% support Kiev being provided with weapons but with no money. 24.9% of those who took part in the survey believed that Washington should send Kiev nothing at all. Commenting on the results of the opinion poll, Mark Meckler, president of the Convention of States Action, said, "American voters believe the U.S. is shouldering the burden of supporting Ukraine and seem to be questioning why we are sending billions overseas while our own economy slides deeper into recession. Our nation would benefit from hearing President Joe Biden provide a clearly defined mission and role in the U.S. support to Ukraine, and reassurances that this will not just become a never-ending conflict that drains American resources and skyrockets our nation's debt." Sputnik News Agency has more for us. Former Pentagon official Wesley Holman said U.S. effort to provide Ukraine with some $17.6 billion worth of military equipment so far is stressing the American defense industry's ability to replenish its stockpiles. Wesley Holman said, "I was talking to somebody that works at a company that produces some of those munitions that we're depleting because we're giving a lot of it to Ukraine right now. And I said, how long is it going to take you to get your line up and running? They said, it's going to be about 2 years. He added, "When I interacted with that executive a couple of weeks ago, that guy was telling me it was going to take 2 years, 2 years until they could get to the rate of production where they could start truly replenishing at the rates needed. That's a long time." Wesley Holman said the Biden administration's decision to provide Ukraine with some $17.6 billion worth of U.S. military assistance is most definitely straining the U.S. stockpile. He said, "My understanding is that it has depleted not just ours, but those of our allies that have ponied up as well. The British, the Poles, the Germans. So yeah, it's affecting all of that." Wesley Holman believes the depletion of U.S. stockpiles is affecting the U.S. military's readiness for certain operational plans.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him,
الجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وصي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood in light of Nahjul Balagha. And we were discussing about those circumstances in human society, in the historical the historical dimension of humans, that what happened that these prophets came, what was the situation of the people at that time. And one of the discussions that we came about was in the second sermon, where Imam Ali alayhi salam says that Usiya ar-Rahman wa nusira shaytan. Of course, there was a lot of discussion that we discussed previously, but the last phrase that we discussed about was that Usiya ar-Rahman wa nusira shaytan, that God, the beneficent, the kind Lord, was being disobeyed, while the shaytan, the devil, the Satan, was being helped, was being supported. Now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, because of whatever reasons, but people were doing that. وَخُذِلَ الْإِيمَانِ, and the situation was such that belief, faith, these things were forgotten. They were left behind. They were left helpless, without support, without proper follow-up. This was the problem at that time.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, he's trying to draw out a picture. He's telling us what was there at that time, at the times that the messengers came. What was the situation of the societies? He says, it was such that khudhil al-iman, that belief, faith, was something that was left aside, was left without a helper, was not being supported. It was not something that people would really put efforts to maintain. You know, when, for example, you like something, when you cherish something, you would like it to stay with you. You'd like it to be there with you. You'd support it whenever you have the energy and the strength. Sometimes it can be a very small, token from your friend or something that is with you. You will do everything to protect it because you value it, you cherish it. But unfortunately, belief at that time became something that was not valued, that was not cherished. So what if people become disbelievers and they leave God's hand and they continue to become misguided and become bad or evil? So what? People had become like that. They didn't care much about the issue of faith. فَانْهَارَتْ دَعَائِمُهُ So the situation that happened after that is that the foundations of belief then started to shake and crumble. فَانْهَارَتْ دَعَائِمُهُ Not that the faith itself, like that God or the angels or they started to get some loss or some difficulty. No, people, the issue of faith, the issue of Iman now started to lose foundation. That means that in a society, it shows us that there are things that need to be there so that Iman, so that faith stays upholded. So that faith is upheld in that community. You need the mosques. You need the right educational system. You need the right types of thinking. You need people to remind one another. You need constant remembrance. You need prayer. All these are necessary so that the foundations become strong and Iman can stay. Otherwise it will just crumble. They will fall apart. وَتَنَكَّرَتْ مَعَالِمُهُ And what else happened is that the signs, or you can say those things that show Iman, the signs of Iman, they were lost. وَتَنَكَّرَتْ مَعَالِمُهُ
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam is trying to portray a very, you know, very clear picture, albeit a dark picture of what was there before the Prophet's coming. And he says that, وَدَرَسَتْ سُبُلُهُ And another issue that happened at that time when the Prophets came, another thing that happened at the time when the Prophets came, وَدَّرَسَتْ سُبُلُهُ That the paths of faith, they were forgotten. The paths to reach faith. They were not taken seriously or they were forgotten. Faith just doesn't come like that. Faith has the path. You need to follow certain things. You need to follow the Sharia. You need to follow certain guidelines in your life. You need to take care that the love of the world doesn't come to you. And therefore you need to, you know, follow a path of slowly, slowly cutting off worldly inclinations. Of course, make use of the world, the best use to progress, but not be completely attached and, you know, be in love and infatuated with the world. Then he goes on to say, وَعَفَتْ شُرُكُهُ Another issue that happened is that people who would want to take part in the issue of belief, they were no longer there. You know, as if people started to stay away from religion. They said, we don't need it. You know, we don't need religion. It's not something that we need in our lives. They wanted to stay away from it. They felt needless of it. وَعَفَتْ شُرُكُهُ This was the situation. And then Imam Ali alayhi salam goes on to say, "Ata'u shaytan," they obeyed the devil. Now we see Imam Ali alayhi salam step by step taking us into this journey, painting this picture about the situation at the time of the prophets and why, and that led to the coming of the messengers of the prophets to save mankind. Let us pray to Allah subhanahu wa taala that He helps us contemplate on these statements. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
بالكتاب مسدد والنور معنا باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه الشدائد منجد والفضل يمنى هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
Russia is the world's third largest oil producer and a leading exporter of natural gas, fertilizer and wheat. And also Ukraine's grain feeds millions of people around the world. But with the start of Russia's special operation in Ukraine on 24th of February and the consequent heavy Western sanctions against Moscow, food and energy trade was disrupted. And the inflation caused by Russia-Ukraine conflict has spread all over the world. We have taken a look at some of the world press's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian writes, according to the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, the world's leading economies are sliding into recession as the global energy and inflation crisis sparked by Russia's special operation in Ukraine cut growth by more than previously forecast. A dependency on expensive gas for heavy industry and home heating will plunge Germany, Italy and the United Kingdom into a long period of recession after global growth was projected by the OECD to slow to 2.2% in 2023 from a forecast in June of 2.8%. With the global economy needing to grow by about 4% to keep pace with rising populations, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, said incomes per head will be lower in many countries. OECD's interim chief economist, Alvaro Pereira, said the world was paying a steep price for the Ukraine conflict, NATO's expansionist policies, and consequently Russia's decision to restrict access to gas supplies more tightly than was forecast in June. He said governments would need to encourage households and businesses to reduce their consumption of gas and oil to help weather a difficult winter. Alvaro Pereira, OECD's chief economist, also supported the determination of central banks to reduce inflation by raising interest rates. He said, "We need to reduce demand, there's no doubt about that, and monetary and fiscal authorities need to work hand in hand to achieve it." China's economic growth rate is expected to drop this year to 3.2%, its lowest since the 1970s. Causing a large decrease in trade with neighbors South Korea, Vietnam and Japan, dragging down their capacity to grow. However, the Paris-based policy forum was most alarmed by the outlook across Europe, which is most directly exposed to the fallout from Russia's military operation in Ukraine. The OECD forecast that Britain's GDP growth would be flat in 2023. However, this projection does not take into account the measures announced in Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng's mini-budget on Friday, 23rd of September. the OECD forecast a drop in economic growth in the Eurozone from 3.1% this year to only 0.3% in 2023, meaning that many countries in the 19-member currency bloc will spend at least part of the year in recession. A recession is defined as two straight quarters of contraction. France could escape a recession if it grows by 0.8% next year, as predicted by the OECD, but will suffer along with other European countries after a downgrade in gross domestic product growth since June of 1.3 percentage points. Germany's dependence on Russian gas before the Ukraine conflict means the German economy will shrink by 0.7% next year, down from a June estimate of 1.7% growth. The Fortune website explains more about the same story. One of the top policy and economic development forums reports during the first half of 2022, inflation in many countries skyrocketed to levels unseen since the 1980s. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, said on Monday, 26th of September, in its latest Economic Outlook report, that fixing the problem might require engineering a dramatic economic slowdown in many countries. The two drivers behind the expected slowdown are the costs associated with the Ukraine war, which the OECD said will lead to a $2.8 trillion drop in global gross domestic product next year, and central banks worldwide tightening their monetary policies in an effort to reduce inflation, measures that could tip several major economies into prolonged recession. The OECD Secretary General Matthias Cormann said in a statement, "The global economy has lost momentum in the wake of Russia's conflict with Ukraine. Gross domestic product growth has stalled in many economies and economic indicators point to an extended slowdown." While the economic outlook has darkened around the world, not every country will be affected in the same way. In the United States, where the U.S. Federal Reserve has implemented a series of aggressive interest rate hikes to slow inflation, economic growth will slip from 1.5% this year to 0.5% next year. Also, Europe is set to bear the brunt of next year's economic decline, as the region with the most exposure to the Ukraine war and its aftershocks. Europe's economic downturn will likely combine with more persistent inflation, especially energy. The OECD report says the situation in Europe could push many countries into a full-year recession in 2023, while growth will remain slow until 2024. Recessions in European countries will likely lead to a decline in employment and in hours worked, with some European manufacturers already furloughing staff and cutting operational hours due to high electricity costs. OECD Secretary General Matthias Cormann said inflationary pressures that were already present as the global economy emerged from the coronavirus pandemic have been severely aggravated by the conflict between Russia and Ukraine. This has further driven rising energy and food prices that now threaten living standards for people across the globe. Turkey's Anadolu News Agency elaborates more on the same issue. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, the OECD, reported insufficient supply diversification and demand reductions could cause shortages that will push up energy prices, dent confidence and financial conditions, and make it necessary for businesses to temporarily ration their use of gas. The OECD said Taken together, these shocks could reduce economic growth in the European economies by over 1.25 percentage points in 2023 relative to baseline, and raise inflation by over 1.5 percentage points. This would push many European countries into recession in 2023. While the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, OECD, noted that higher interest rates are a primary driver behind global recession risks, it said such action was needed to tame inflation. The report said continued monetary policy tightening is needed to lower inflation durably, adding that policymakers must carefully balance economic uncertainty with the need to bring prices down. However, World Bank officials have called on central banks to refrain from competitive interest rate hikes that will push the global economy into recession and harm the economies of developing countries the most.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
English Radio, a herald of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Baqir alayhi salam regarding the Book of Deeds of a person. You know, the Book of Deeds is a concept which is been mentioned in the Holy Quran. In the Holy Quran, we read the following: we have attached every person's omen to his neck, and we shall bring it out for him on the day of resurrection as a wide open book that he will encounter. Read your book. Today your soul suffices as your own reckoner. Right? So this concept of a book being given in which the deeds of a person are recorded, and this book will be given to this person on the day of resurrection. It will be open. The person will look at his deeds. If he sees good deeds in it, he will be happy. Otherwise, he will be remorseful and sad and grieving at it. This is a Quranic concept. And it has been alluded to and has been elaborated on by our Ayyama alayhi salam. Imam Baqir alayhi salam said the following: with regards to Allah's verse, we have attached every person's omen to his neck. The Imam said, the good and the evil he has done is with him wherever he is, and he cannot separate them until he is given his book about his deeds on the day of resurrection. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam also said the following regards to this book of deeds, this Kitabul A'mal. He said, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said the following regarding this subject, with respect to this book, with respect to this verse of the Holy Quran, where God says, read your book. Today your soul suffices as your own reckoner. Imam said, the servant will be reminded of everything that he has done and that was recorded against him. He will be reminded of it. As if he has done it that very hour, he will remember it. It's like he had just performed that thing. And because of that, they will say, woe to us! What a book this is! It omits nothing, big or small, without enumerating it. In a similar way, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, when the day of resurrection comes, man will be handed his book and told, read it. The reporter of this tradition then asked the Imam and said, and will he know what is in it? To which he replied, verily, he will remember it. There will not remain a single moment, a single word, a single footstep or anything that he did, which he will not remember, as if he had done it that very hour. And this is why they will say, woe to us! What a book this is! It omits nothing, big or small, without enumerating it. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the Book of Deeds in the words of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay. Doing us now from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
The former Brazilian president Lula da Silva has defeated left-wing former leader Jair Bolsonaro in Brazil's presidential elections. Although the far-right incumbent has yet to concede, Brazilians are out celebrating this historic and very close win. Given that Bolsonaro won't contest the results and the transfer